And it is to that topic that we turn our attention this morning in my effort to give a biblical theology of motherhood. Genesis, three texts. I really hate to do this to you, but we're going to look at three separate texts this morning in our journey of understanding what the Bible has to say about being a mom. And the first is in Genesis chapter 1. So Genesis 1, verse 28. God has just created the world, and to the man and woman that he has made, he now gives them a responsibility. Genesis 1, verse 28. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Pray with me one more time. Father in heaven, I ask that you would help our understanding of this text and a few others this morning as we consider what it means to be a mom. We pray that you would help us to think rightly and also gladly about this wonderful enterprise. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I was shocked when I read this story this past week in the news. I really thought it was one of those headlines to where maybe this is just one of those fake news stories. Because in Sydney, Australia, a mom was pregnant with twins. And these twins came early. She was only 27 weeks pregnant. And one of the twins was just fine, very healthy. The other twin, not so much. The doctors pronounced him dead 20 minutes after he was born. And the mom said to the doctors, "I would just like to hold my child." And so the doctors hand the baby, arms hanging limp, to the mom. The mom wanted to say goodbye, and so placing the baby's skin to her skin, she just stroked the child, talked to the child. And she did that for 2 hours as her dead son lay in her arms. And the moms actually started to think maybe the child's not dead because the baby seemed to gasp or something for breath, but the doctor said that's just a reflex. There's nothing to be excited about. But then they kept doing it. And the baby kept twitching or making these signs of life to where the doctor said, or the mom said, maybe something is interesting that's going on here. And so they called for the doctors. The doctor would not come. The doctor has pronounced this child dead. And so the parents actually had to lie to the doctor, saying that they understood that the child was dead, but now they needed some sort of grief counseling to just help them up their way through it. They just wanted the doctor to come back in the room because now this baby was grabbing the mom's finger and opening his eyes. And this baby, it seems, came back to life. And I tell you that story not just to highlight the role of miracles, not just to show that science is not the end-all, be-all, but to show that, because I think this story encapsulates the truth that being a mom is a blessing. There is certainly a special connection, you may even call it a mystical connection, between a mom and her children. And that connection transcends even modern science. And that's the first thing I want to tell you about motherhood. That motherhood, as proved, I think, in that story, is a blessing. Moms seem to have these natural instincts to know how to rightly care for their children. Where does that come from? Let's read again Genesis 1, 28. God tells to both Adam and Eve, "Be fruitful and increase in number." Your translation may say, "Be fruitful and multiply." This is not the only command or the only time in Genesis where we read, "Be fruitful and multiply." This command is actually repeated 6 different times throughout the book. Some have said this is the only command the world has taken seriously. But it is a command, notice, right? Be fruitful and multiply. And see, commands are not always fun to hear. If a father goes to his son and says, "Son, go cut the grass," or "Go do your homework," that's a command. And that's a command that falls into the not-so-fun category. But see, there are other kinds of commands, and that's what kind of command we read here. It's sort of like a father looking at his son and saying, "Son, here are the keys to your new car. Go take a drive." It is a command, but it is also a blessing. Look at what verse 28 says. It says, God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. So there's some connection between a blessing that God wants to give his creation and this idea of having kids. Motherhood is a blessing. It's a calling and it's a responsibility. God did not say to Adam and Eve, all right, guys, now that I've made you, I'm going to give you a mission. And your mission is to go have kids, and you're not going to like it, but I want you to do it anyway. Instead, he says, I've got good news to tell you. I've got pleasant information to bring to your ears. I want to give you something you don't already have. I'm giving you a mission, and that is to bear children. And so the blessing that God gives Adam and Eve is not just a wonderful garden. It's not just eternal life had they maintained their innocence in that garden. But in addition to that, it is the blessing of having children. And last time I checked, moms are at the center of that equation. And so the quick conclusion that I want you to draw from this one word, God blessed them and said, go have kids, is that having children, particularly the motherly aspect of that, is a blessing from the Lord. And the rest of the Bible confirms that truth. Psalm 127 says, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward. And so the Bible confirms that motherhood is a blessing, but look, common sense does as well. Certainly a woman's body is uniquely suited to bearing children. Her emotional constitution makes her an above average caregiver, and certainly the testimony of many moms is that they would rather do nothing else than to be a mom. And so when we say being a mom is a blessing, we need to realize that the Bible says that, but so does our culture, at least to some extent. But here's the thing I want you to notice. Scripture explains why it is that motherhood is a blessing. See, you don't need the Bible to tell you that motherhood is a blessing. You just need a Hallmark card to tell you that. Plenty of our culture, plenty of people who do not know the Lord are going to call their moms today and say, thank you for all you've done. You don't need divine revelation to show you that motherhood is to some extent a blessing, but you do need divine revelation to show why it is a blessing. Scripture explains why a woman will leave a lucrative career, leave the freedom of not having children, accept 9 months of difficulty, 24 hours of painful labor, and then 18 years of sacrifice. And she willingly does that. And the Bible helps us understand why, and that's because God said it's a blessing. And so right off the bat, if you're not a Christian this morning, let me say, one of the reasons I urge you to consider the claims of Christianity is not just because we have a risen Savior, it's not just because it helps you overcome your sin and have eternal life, but it's because the Bible helps us make sense out of the world. If you have a sense that I want purpose in life, I want to feel like my life is more than just an accident, the Bible helps you understand why that's the case. The Bible helps make sense of our desire for our lives to make a difference that even outlasts our own lifetime. The Bible helps us understand why we feel guilty. The Bible helps us understand why we have this frustration that we're not yet the people we want to be. It helps make sense of our instinct to help our fellow man and to relieve pain and suffering as we're able. The Bible helps us understand why we get mad when we see injustice in our court system. The Bible even explains why we have this deep longing for community and friendship. It explains why we even have a desire to be comfortable. It even explains why we have Mother's Day. And it is because motherhood is not just this necessary sociological phenomenon that some people enjoy. Instead, it is actually a divine blessing. Christianity helps make sense out of the world and this holiday. It explains why a single woman will pray and long to get married and settle down and have children. The Bible explains why infertility is so painful. And it explains why a mom has that strong bond between her children, while she'll spend her life going the extra mile. And the reason that it gives is because this thing called being a mom is a blessing. God invented motherhood. That's what I'm trying to say. It was his idea. And so if you like being a mom, know that you don't just like something that is personally fulfilling. You like it because it is a blessing from the Lord. But let's be honest, that is not the whole story. Being a mom is a blessing, but the second thing I want to show you about being a mom is that it's hard. Being a mom is hard. Turn over one or two pages to Genesis chapter 3, verse 16. If you're unfamiliar with the first few pages of the Bible, in Genesis 1 and 2, God makes the world, he gives them some responsibility. And in Genesis 3, man just blows it, and he completely fails at that task. And sort of like a rebellious teenager, he says, I'm going to go my own way. I don't want to live under these constraints. And the curious appeal to sin wins over. And Adam and Eve are not only sin, but are kicked out of the garden that God had made for them. And at the end of this grand failure, God pronounces a curse to those parties who are involved. He curses the serpent, which is the devil. He curses Adam, and he curses woman, Eve. Let's read what the Lord says in verse 16, chapter 3, verse 16. To the woman, he said, I will make your pains in childbearing very severe. With painful labor, you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. And so in the curse that God gives to Eve, this curse impacts a woman's relationship to her husband and to her children. We want to particularly focus on the relationship to your children. God says, I'm going to multiply your pain in childbearing. And listen, you don't need to know Hebrew, which is what the Old Testament was written in. And you do not need to be a theologian to understand this. You just need to walk through a maternity ward and hear a woman absolutely groan in pain as she's giving birth. Look at the agony, look at the exhaustion, and you will believe that the Bible is true. Labor pain, of course, not speaking from experience, but I was a witness. It's honestly, you're just fishing for an adjective, right? Nothing, I'm told, compares. Genesis 35 tells the story of Rachel giving birth. Rachel was Jacob's wife, one of them. Abraham gave birth to children, and eventually Jacob was one of his descendants. Rachel dies while giving birth to Benjamin. In Romans 8, Paul is telling us about how even creation is groaning. Even the material world, the ground, the rocks, the sky, even they are aware that the creation is not yet what it's supposed to be. And to help describe that point, Paul says that even creation is groaning as if a woman is in labor. In Isaiah 13, Israel is threatened by a country called Babylon. And Babylon represented the bad guys. And Israel was not exactly the good guys. Israel had fallen away from the Lord. Israel was wicked, and so you had bad guy versus bad guy. And basically, God was using Babylon to judge Israel. But to Babylon, God said, I'm going to punish you for what you are doing. And it says in Isaiah 13, wail for the day of the Lord is near. It will come like destruction from the Almighty. Because of this, all hands will go limp. Every heart will melt. Terror will seize them. Pain and anguish will grip them. This is what's going to happen to Babylon. They will writhe like a woman in labor. And so when God wants to describe what the judgment's going to be like, the mental image he uses is that of a woman giving birth. God said that labor would hurt. And when God says something's going to hurt, it's going to really hurt. And so being a mom is hard because the very initial act of being a mom is excruciatingly painful. And yet, any mom will tell you that the pain of being a mom does not begin and end with labor and delivery. If you're a mom, you well know that you suffer in many ways. You even can suffer before you're a mom, because not being a mom is hard when you would like to be a mom. I mentioned this already, that Scripture is entirely honest about the pain of not being able to have a child when you would like to have a child. I've actually known Christians who don't come to church on Mother's Day, because it just serves as a daily reminder of the blessing that they never got. But if you do have the blessing of being a mom, and then you go through the pain you go through a new kind of pain called pregnancy. Because the pain of childbearing doesn't just start when your water breaks. It happens when walking turns into waddling. When things start to swell and backs start to ache. And your stomach goes from being nauseous 1 minute to ravenous the next. Pregnancy is tough, right? And I can only find 3 times Jesus talks about pregnancy. And in each time, he really is saying the same thing. One in Matthew, one in Mark, one in Luke. And in Matthew 24, you got to read the context to know everything that's going on. But basically, Jesus is saying, sort of like in Isaiah, that judgment's coming. It says in Matthew 24, verse 16, "So when you see the abomination of desolation spoken by the prophet Daniel standing in the holy place, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let the one who is on the housetop not go down to take what is in his house. And let the one who is in the field not turn back to take his cloak. And alas for women who are pregnant and for those who are nursing infants in those days." In other words, Jesus is saying judgment is coming, and when it's coming, it's going to be so bad, you don't want to even go to downstairs and grab your wallet. You don't want to even harvest what's in your field. You just want to run for the mountains because the judgment that God's going to bring is going to be so severe. And who's it going to be hardest on? It's going to be particularly hard on women who are pregnant. Because when you're pregnant, the very basic necessities of life are unusually hard. But let's say you get through pregnancy, you get through labor and delivery, and now you have newborns. And when you have a newborn, you are reminded that being a mom is still hard. It's draining. I don't know that many people who set their alarm clock to go off at 2 o'clock, then 4 o'clock, and 5:30 just for the heck of it. Instead, that crying baby down the hall is the dutiful reminder that motherhood is difficult. Even things like going to the store and buying groceries now become an all-day event. So caring for newborns is hard. But let's say those newborns grow up and become young children. Caring for young children is hard. It's mentally draining, not just physically draining. Because here's what I know. I know that moms have gifts. And they have gifts that extend beyond being a mom. There's a full range of gifts. But the life of being a mom is not exactly intellectually stimulating at times. You can have a mom, and here she can say, "I've got a college degree, I studied hard, I got a good GPA, I was ready to jump in the professional world and make a difference, and now I spend my day making grilled cheeses, putting toys back in their appropriate baskets, and humming a Disney song that I can't get out of my head." Proverbs says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sad." And motherhood is one of those things that can defer hope. It postpones goals, it delays dreams, or it cancels them altogether. When we think about a mom caring for young children, we often think of a mom telling the young kid, "No, don't touch that sharp knife, don't color on the couch, don't poke your younger brother in his eye socket." Those are real conversations. But also, that's not the only way motherhood says no, because life tells a mom no. Life tells mom no, you can't pursue your dreams. You can't have all the freedom you otherwise would like. And then those young children, they grow up and become teenagers. And when they become teenagers, you learn yet again that being a mom is hard. Earlier, years before, you worry that your kid will fall coming down the stairs. And now that same worry is only magnified as you worry about them being in a car wreck. But perhaps the greatest pain of a mom watching or raising teenagers is to watch their children disobey, to sin against the Lord. Proverbs 10 says, "A foolish son is a sorrow to his mother." But let's say that goes well. You get through those teenage years, and now they're gone. They're gone from the home. They're gone from the high school. And it seems like all would be well, but when you talk to moms, we find that the pain of being a motherhood doesn't end there, because being an empty nester is hard. "A man shall leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two shall become one." And that may be good news for the youngster, right? But for the mom, that can be unusually painful. For many of us, we lose our children to motherhood. For others, it's to college or to boot camp. And I wonder if we see a hint of that pain when we look at Jesus' mom. Mary. We don't know a ton about Mary after the birth narrative, but she does pop up in Mark 3. And Mary is there with Jesus' biological brothers. And Jesus is in a house teaching some people about what it means to follow him. And then Mary and the brothers are outside the house. And the disciples are like, Jesus, your mom and your brothers, they're outside the house. Shall we go get them? And Jesus' response is actually pretty interesting. He says, here are my mom, and here are my brothers. Whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother. And so this is not an example of Jesus dissing his family. Instead, I think he's showing that a spiritual family rises above, in terms of importance, even your biological family. And so it is with leaving the home. A mom watches her son or daughter move on to bigger and better things. And the relationship that she once held so dear becomes increasingly secondary in the life of the child. Secondary to new dating relationships, secondary to career goals and college choice. In some Mother's Day, I wonder if the pain of motherhood is symbolized in this, that all those days are gone. The t-ball games, the ballet recitals, and those family dinners, they're just no more. And being a mom is hard. But the pain of motherhood doesn't actually stop with being an empty nester. It actually could get much worse, and some people in this room have gone through it. It's the pain of watching a child die. Perhaps the most vivid portrait of pain I can find in Scripture is in John 19, where Mary, the mother of Jesus, watches her own son hang on the cross. And Jesus, in a remarkable instance of love, instead of bringing pity into his own life, he actually instead is trying to care for his mother and to make sure his mom has a caregiver after he is gone. And my point is this: no matter where you are in your journey of motherhood, whether you are trying to have a child or your child died 10 years ago, being a mom is hard. It's difficult. The Bible says that. You didn't need the Bible to tell you that, though. For you, you just need the last week or the last 30 years to remind you of this truth. And I came across one person's attempt to explain the multifaceted way that moms both serve us and suffer. I'd like to read it to you. To those who gave birth this year to their first child, we celebrate with you. To those who lost a child this year, we mourn with you. To those who are in the trenches with little ones every day and wear the badge of food stains, we appreciate you. To those who experienced loss this year through miscarriage, failed adoptions, or running away, we mourn with you. To those who walk the hard road of infertility, fraught with pokes and prods and tears and disappointment, we walk with you. Forgive us when we say foolish things. We don't mean to make it harder than it is. To those who are foster moms, mentor moms, and spiritual moms, we need you. To those who have warm and close relationships with your children, we celebrate with you. To those who have disappointment, heartache, and distance with your children, we sit with you. To those who lost their moms this year, we grieve with you. To those who experienced abuse at the hands of your own mom, we acknowledge your experience. To those who live through driving tests, medical tests, and the overall testing of motherhood, we are better for having you in our midst. To those who have or will have empty nests in the upcoming year, we grieve with you and rejoice with you. To those who are pregnant with new life, both expected and surprising, we anticipate you. This Mother's Day, we walk with you. Mothering is not for the faint of heart, and we have real warriors in our midst, and so we remember you. So my point is this: Scripture tells us that motherhood is a blessing. Scripture also tells us why motherhood is so hard. But lastly, and this is particularly where the gospel begins to make a difference in how we understand motherhood, the third thing we see about motherhood is that being a mom produces eternal rewards. So if you will, find your way to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians, all the way in the New Testament, after the four Gospels, you'll eventually come to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul is writing to the church in Corinth, a church that he knows, a church where he spent some considerable time. And he's trying to let them in on what it's like for him to be a missionary. He has admitted to them it's tough, it's painful, and he's reflecting on how is it that he's able to endure all these beatings and all the rejection that he has faced. And in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16, we read, "Therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." Here Paul recognizes that the life that he's been leading is painful. It's hard. So much that he can say outwardly, "I'm wasting away." He feels like the energy of life is being spent day by day. One translation says, things are falling apart. And I suppose that moms can relate well to what Paul says. I wonder if you feel as a mom that if you're ever wasting away because the sink is full of dirty dishes, the diaper is full, the laundry basket's full, and your schedule is full of miscellaneous errands. And it can feel like you have to run the extra mile just to keep your head above water. And things feel like, in the life of a mom, things feel like they're falling apart. And I want to share with you, I think it's fair to make a comparison between Paul's suffering as an apostle or as a missionary and the life of a mom, and here's why. I admit this text doesn't intend to say anything about motherhood, at least not directly. Yet the life of a mom, the trials of a mom, and the trials of Paul both took decades. Paul didn't go on a short-term mission trip and then write all of his letters in a few months. This is a ministry that took decades for him, like that of a mom. Like the life of a mother, Paul was persecuted and had intense moments of extreme pain, and then that was interrupted with extended season of just monotonous plodding, working hard, and seeing minimal results. And so it is with being a mom. Like being a mom, Paul was called to this task. And I believe that because of what we read in Genesis 1, that being a mom is called a blessing from God, that it is entirely fair to say that moms are called to be moms. Certainly, you are only called to be a mom if you are in a biblical marriage, yet it is a calling from God. But the clearest way, I'm sorry, I'm not to say that if you're not married, you're not called to be a mom. I'm saying that is the intended framework for it. But the biggest way I think being an apostle is parallel to being a mom is because all Christians, not just apostles, not just missionaries, are called to make a comparison, to look at the present sufferings and then to look beyond those sufferings and to look to heaven. That's not just something super Christians do like Paul. It's something all Christians are called to. So in Romans 8 we read, "I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed to us." And so when we read in 2 Corinthians 4, the suffering that Paul's talking about, it's not just suffering for being a Christian, it's suffering in general, I believe. I believe we can apply it to that. And so the big idea of this passage is not just that Christians suffer. It's not just that Christians go through pain. It's that pain produces something that wasn't previously there. Okay, this is the payoff. If I've lost you, come back right here. Verse 17 of chapter 4. Paul says, "Our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal weight of glory that far outweighs them all." Notice that word, achieve. Your suffering achieves something. It produces something. If you achieve something, you achieve some prize or reward, you now have something that you didn't previously have. And so it is with suffering. When you suffer as a mom, that suffering isn't just something you get through and say, "Glad that's over with." That suffering actually produces something for you. And what does it produce? An eternal weight of glory. I love this image. That you have an eternal reward, it lasts forever, and it's weighty. And I love the image of a weighty reward because the life of a mom often feels quite trivial and insignificant and flippant. Feel like you're always just going to the pantry to get Cheerios. It doesn't feel like you're doing much, but instead the Bible reminds us that as we suffer, including the suffering of a mom, that our suffering leads to a significant and substantial eternal reward. And therefore, because we know the reward is coming, verse 18, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. And so what is my encouragement to moms? My encouragement to moms in the room is just to do what verse 18 says. And that's to fix your eyes not on the things that you can see, but on things that you can't see. This is, of course, a paradox, because we can only fix our eyes on things that we can see. That's what it means to see. That's what it means to fix our eyes on something, to see something. But Paul says the Christian sight is categorically different. We have to fix our eyes on what we can't see. So moms, the gospel says, think about heaven. The way you get through the hardship of motherhood is not just to say, one day it's going to pay off. One day this potty training will really mean I quit buying diapers. One day all this food I'm cooking is going to lead to a healthy kid. You can do that, and those things are right. There is a payoff that comes even in this life. But if you confine the reward of motherhood to this life, you are bound for disappointment. Instead, the gospel tells us to look beyond the temporal. Look beyond the things that you can see. Look beyond the fact that your resume isn't as polished and your income is smaller because you've chosen to be a mom. Look beyond these things and look to heaven. How do you know that heaven is worth it? You know it because the Bible says that there is an eternal, weighty reward that will come to the, as a result of mom's suffering. And so, contrary to what our culture may say, motherhood is not some necessary evil or some morally neutral event that is simply necessary because someone needs to populate our planet, otherwise our species would not exist. Instead, motherhood is a grand and glorious enterprise. Some would say that, gosh, it just feels like I'm watching all these cartoons and doing things that aren't that significant. And then the real business of life is carried on by everyone else. And I want to say the real business of life happens when a mom goes picks up her crib from a crying moment. The blessing of motherhood is real. Folks, it's a blessing and it's hard. But the fruit of that difficulty is going to lead to an eternal reward that makes the difficulty worth it. And the difficulty will pale in comparison. And so today, as Christians, we can say Happy Mother's Day. Not only because we're thankful for all that our moms do, but because we believe that great is your reward in heaven. And I'm glad that that's true for all Christians. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we want to pause again and thank you for the people in our lives that have influenced us. Thank you especially for our moms. But God, if we just took this moment and thought about how good it was to have a mom, we would be neglecting the full spectrum of the gifts you've given us. God, how horrible would it be for those of us who have awesome moms and yet live our lives fixing our eyes on things we can see. And so I pray that you would cause us to look beyond the temporary, this world, and cause us to focus our eyes on what is unseen, eternal things. So God, our prayer is that those who do not know you as their king would want to have a piece of that pie, who would want to live forever with you in heaven, who would want to know that their suffering really does produce an eternal weight of glory. And we pray for our moms that that truth, that their suffering leads to reward, even a greater reward, would be ever on their mind as they plod through the difficulties of being a mom. Father, help us to honor them well. In Jesus' name, amen.